the next two steps in the Seder are Yachatz, where we break the matzah, and Magid, where we actually start recounting the Exodus. So Yachatz, we break the matzah, you know, to act as a poor man does, that a poor man doesn't always have a whole loaf of bread, so also we have to make do, as it were, with only half a matzah and save the other half for later. And we have to understand what that has to do. This is a night of freedom, so we should be acting like rich men, not like poor men. And as a matter of fact, we do act like rich men on this night, because we have to eat reclining, as do the very important people, and we're supposed to have a lavish meal. The Goyin says that one should put his finest vessels on the table where he conducts his Seder, although we should show that we're free and that we're very important and as we're very rich. So what's with acting as if we're poor? Furthermore, when we get into Magid, the first thing we do is introduce the matzah. Halach ma'anya, the hal sar bar tzayim. This is the poor bread that we ate in the land of Egypt. Like, what are we doing? You know, again, stressing the poverty. And we're also, first thing we do is introduce the matzah, even though the recount of the Exodus has to be done in an order of question-answer, which is the step afterwards. The child asks the manishtana, and the rest of the goes to provide the answers. But even before we get to the questions, we have to introduce the matzah. And the whole Seder is built in a manner as if the Haggadah is being recited on the matzah. We introduce the matzah, and then we say the Haggadah over the matzah, and that Chazal say from the word Lechem Oni, the bread of our affliction. They say it's also Lechem Oni, bread of poverty, but it's also Lechem Oni, Lechem She'oni Lo Darabei. It's the bread over which we make many decorations, i.e. we say the Haggadah over it. So you have to understand, what's this poverty theme? What does it have to do with this night of freedom when we act so free and so important and even act in a manner that's rich? All right, so there's that. And there's like, why do we have to introduce the matzah before recounting the Exodus? We'll get up to it later by mochi matzah, and the matzah we eat because, you know, we had to leave Egypt very quickly and didn't have time for the bread to leaven. So, to explain this, the Maharal in the Sefer Bors Hashem in the 51st chapter explains as follows. First, we'll talk about matzah per se. Right? You know, matzah represents the freedom itself. And the Maharal makes a very interesting observation. Right? Freedom is not synonymous with prosperity. Freedom may lead to unlimited opportunities, including to reach prosperity. But the actual essence of freedom is being independent. I am not under anyone. I'm not subjugated to anyone. But that means that I'm my own person. I'm not dependent on anyone else except, obviously, God Himself. And indeed, the Exodus was we're free from Paro and all the other nations, but we are Abadim, we are slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But to be under God exclusively, you know, being free from everything else except for God, I have to be totally not under anything else, not dependent on anything else. So says the Maharal, that's what matzah represents. It represents the essence of freedom. Right? For bread to be bread, bread is dependent, i.e., not just on additives, you know, to make it tasty, but it's dependent on being leavened. It's not bread as we know it. If you don't give it its requisite time for the dough to rise. Right? So bread is a dependent entity. It can't be bread unless, you know, you add to it other factors. First and foremost, give it a certain amount of requisite time to, pop up. So bread is a dependent entity. Matzah is not a dependent entity. It's just the essence itself. It's just water and flour, and you could bake it immediately. So it's the thing itself. Don't have to give it time. It's not dependent on time. And you don't give it spice. You don't give it any type of added taste. Otherwise, it's not matzah that you could be yotzei the mitzvah with. Right? Lechem oni means it's just the thing in itself. The thing in itself, not connected to anything else. It means it's not dependent on anything else. And it says the Maharal, it's also represented the fact that matzah has to be baked quickly. Right? That doing something quickly means that you don't want to take more time. You don't want to be dependent on needing more time. You want to do it quickly means that you want the thing in itself. You don't want it spread over time. If it's spread over time, it means it's connected to other moments, right? It gets connected to other factors. That's one of the things Mr. Sharm says very important about doing things bezuzas quickly. Because once you let it be connected to more time, that allows for other distractions to creep in, and it things become complicated because it starts interacting with other things. To do something quickly is just to stick to the thing itself, and just with the exact amount of time that it needs, no extra outside time. It's the thing in itself. And that's what matzah represents. It represents the freedom in and of itself. And says the Maharal, you know, as strange as it may sound at first glance, but it's true, the one that has him, he himself, is the poor person. A rich man has a very complicated life because he's connected to all different people he does business with. He has worries on his head of how his, you know, properties are being managed and how his investments are going. He has a very, very complex life that's so interconnected with so many factors. He's a dependent in many ways, even though he may show himself as being the big boss. But really deep down, he's full of dependence. He's not, doesn't have mobility. He has commitments. He has things that keep him nailed down and worried. All right, the poor person just has himself. He has nothing else in the world to worry about. All right, so there's a certain aspect of poverty that's really liberation. In a sense, it's the man himself. He has nothing else in his life other than he himself. That means he's not dependent on anything else either. He has the ultimate freedom of just being he himself. That's the matzah, and that's poverty. So that this is the aspect representing freedom itself. This is the freedom itself. And on top of the freedom itself, you have unlimited opportunity. From there, you grow into prosperity. From there, you grow into unlimited achievement. But first, you need the freedom itself, and that's to break dependence on anything else. And that's, it is our way to be not under anything else, to sever your ties with everything else. That's what's represented by the matzah, that's what's represented by poverty. You just have the thing in itself, it's not connected to anything else, it's free, it's just in itself, and that opens up the window of unlimited opportunity. And for us Jews, you know, the wonderful opportunity it opens up for us is that we'll just be under God himself, we won't be under anything else. So to make the Seder tangible, that we talk about a higher order, right? To make it real, that it's not just words, that it should have a certain physical base, that's a manifestation of freedom in and of itself, that's the matzah. So the whole Seder is recounted over the matzah, over this concept of poverty in its liberating sense. That's just the thing in itself, we show a certain physical base to make it tangible, that on this night, Hashem took us out so we shouldn't be under any other force in the world. It makes the freedom something tangible, something very much more real. So then when we're reciting that God, it's not just words and abstract ideas. It's coming built upon this very real base, this tangible base, that we are really not under any other force other than God himself. And this opens us up to have this higher order.